The Lord God made this day. He created this earth, and here we are, the people of God gathered together this first Sunday of 2020. I'm glad you're here. Does your family mean anything to you? Yes, sir, somebody said. Your family means a lot to you. Every preacher at the beginning of the year has to make a decision. He has to make a decision whether he's going to start out with a stewardship series or a family relationship series. So Doug came and he basically said, thank you for giving. If you're not giving, you ought to be giving in the new year. This is your church home. This is your church family. There's bills to pay. There's things to do. You need to be committed to giving to the kingdom of God. I thought he did an excellent job. Did I add any too much there, Doug? He took care of that. So guess what? I get to preach on family. That's neat, wasn't it? How I got to do that. So they can't say the preacher's talking about money all the time. Oh. That was free. Didn't cost you anything. Family relationships, how important they are. You know Warren Buffett? You know that name? A lot of you do. If you watch the news any at all, you're familiar with it probably. And this article I read is a little dated. But a few years back, they were 70 or so people in this country that were worth over $1 billion and that kind of thing. And they were talking about how he made his money and investing and that kind of thing. The firm Berkshire Hathaway, I believe, he's noted for that, his firm. And they go on to say that's one of the reports. Is that right, Colton? What are you grinning at? Did I pronounce it wrong or what? Oh, I'm good, thank you. I was just checking you out, grinning at me like a possum. But the people read this. This thing's important, they say, in this article. And the question in that article is just telling how good he is and all that kind of thing. And I know very little about that. I believe that's what Colton was trying to get across. But anyway, if you had some money to invest now, would you sit down and talk to this fella? I think your answer would be yes. The success he's had and so on and so forth, you would want to talk to him. So that makes sense. So now, what's your greatest capital? What is the greatest capital that you have today? Now, if we let everybody answer, I'm sure it would be pretty close. It wouldn't be a broad space in between. And I just believe family would be one of those areas of life that you would say, this is one of the greatest things that I have, that God's blessed me with, is the family that I have. So, you know, if you would talk to Mr. Buffett about money, who will you talk to in 2020 about the family? Well, you can say, well, I read this book by James Dobson, if you're my age, or I read this book by, and all that's well and good. But this book right here is full of, some say, advice. Some say commands. Some say all sorts of things. But I submit to you that this is the book we need to read. This is the book about investing. This is the book about family relationships. This is the book that we need to put place within our mind, that it can get from our mind to our heart, that we know how to live our life. And family relationships are huge in this book. It tells us how to do that. So, family relationships, investing strategies, God's written word. God's written word is absolute truth. It's not a suggestion. It's not one of many ways to get to heaven. God's word is absolute truth. And if you call yourself a Christ follower, you are to follow God's holy word. Now we know that. if I got a microphone and I went through here and I started over here and I said, Jackson, is your mama important to you? You would say, yes. If I said, Jackson, how about your dad? Is he important to you? You'd say, yes. If I went back one more row and I asked this sweet young lady right here by the name of Judy, Judy, is your husband important to you? She would say, remember, you're in church, honey. You'd say, yes. You ain't supposed to lie either in church, but you're right up here. Yes. If you asked her husband, is Judy important to you? He would say, you better believe it. If I went over to Mama and Papa and I said, Mama and Papa, is your son, your precious miracle baby, is he important to you? They'd say, he's getting worse all the time. They'd say, yes. We went on back through here, took some back of here, way back there in the back. I see Mr. Whiskers Metter back there. If I ask him, is your family important to you, that little boy and that little girl, your wife, your mom and dad, if I went through here, the answer would be yes. If I went back there and said, Johnny Brewer, is your family important to you after all I've done to him and tortured him today bad and mentioned his son Kevin's name, I guarantee you in the depths of Johnny's heart, he loves his family and those grandkids, don't you, Johnny? He loves them. So we come from different walks, so to speak, and we have different thoughts on a lot of things, but we'd come together pretty close. This family business is important to us because God said it's important. So for this Sunday and the next two or three, we'll talk about relationships. Now, if you look at the slide, the next slide, I think it says, understand each other. Do you understand your husband or your wife? How about your boyfriend or your girlfriend? Law mercy. You talking about a hornet's nest. This could become one. Do you understand each other? Well, we're commanded to try to understand each other. Miss Kathy, I think Roger's working today, isn't he? Would you tell him that I said hello? And you can tell him this next part. We have a lot of fun in our small group, and we do a lot of praying, and we'll cry together and laugh together and eat together, and we watch a video from time to time. It might be right now media. It might be this thing like VCR or DVR, whatever they are now. But you can own a VCR, DVR, whatever it's called, the current brand, and not know how to operate it. You know, there's a difference. I can own something, but not know how to operate it. If you go to Roger's house, he's got 14 remotes. He'll punch every button on all 14 remotes, and the TV still won't work. Now you tell him I said that. He's learning. He's doing better. Mac happened to be visiting, and he straightened it out for us. But you can own something and not know how it works. You can be married and have relationships and children and all sorts of things, and sometimes we have trouble understanding. Look at 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. So he starts off in this particular scripture addressing the husband. And he says, now I want you to be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Treat them with respect. So husbands, we get to go first here today. Treat them with respect. Are you treating your wife with respect? Okay, answer that question. Then he says, as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Better be considerate, husbands. You better treat your wife with respect as the weaker partner. Now, we get in that, and all kinds of things happen when people read those two little words, weaker partner. The men take it the wrong way. The women take it the wrong way. And sometimes women don't want to hear that today, even though it's the Word of God. That, you know, we can talk, we used to, you remember the old phrase, women's lib? I mean, that's so far back that there's so many other things, we've forgotten that word. But women are saying, wait a minute, I'm not the weaker person. Let me tell you, I have rights. Let me tell you. Sure, women have rights. Sure, women are to be loved. But this says respect as the weaker partner and as what? An heir with you to the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayer. So here he's saying it a lot in a short period of time, and I don't have time or I'm not going to take the time to just keep going with this verse because I got a lot to cover. But we got to be considerate with our wives. We got to treat them with respect. And I know my place. She knows her place, so to speak, and heirs with me and as a gracious gift of life so that your prayers won't be hindered. Now, men, if we want to not treat our wives right and do what God's told us, he's saying, listen, your prayers will be hindered. And I don't have any time for my prayers to be hindered. I don't have time to play with that. Now, do I always succeed? Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But that's what we're striving for. We're directed, husbands, we can't get out of it, to understand our wives, to know them, to understand them. And I know what some men are thinking right now. It'd be easier to understand physics than it is to understand a woman. Just be honest. Yeah, I can't understand this woman. I can't understand the way women think. Well, you can, and you keep trying, and you will. And wives can say the same thing about men. So what's it mean for us to understand each other? How do we do that? We make what's important to her important to us. And she makes what's important to us important to her, right? That we make life important. You know, Hobby Lobby opened up. Lord help us. Amen. The youth pastor goes on record saying, Lord help us. Have you been to Hobby Lobby? Yeah, he said. Did your wife make you go, or you volunteered? He just knew it was coming. He just said, okay, I'm going to go. Hobby Lobby. Got to go to Hobby Lobby. Has my wife been? Yes. Did I go with her? No. Bill, you're a better man. Spending limit. Make what's important to her important to me, and you know, it goes both ways. Whether you like Hobby Lobby or whatever. Another example of that is this little fella had a passion. He wanted to learn hockey, the game of hockey, and the dad was not a sports fan really. So it come hockey season, and the dad took his son to these games and spent a lot of time, spent a lot of money, and one of his coworkers said, man, do you really enjoy that game that much? And his answer was, no, I don't, but my son does. So he didn't enjoy it all that much, but his son did. So therefore, he invests in the son. Same thing, children, wife, trying to understand and make each other's importance equal. So how are we going to understand one another? We're going to spend time together. We got to spend time together. Beyond, hello, how are you? And that's good for children and parents and husband and wife. It's good for church family that we've got to spend time together, except, okay, how are you? Fine, thank you, and walk on down the aisle. So what does James 1:19 say? On the screen it says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to what? Listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Now, have we got those backwards? Yes, we do sometimes. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, to hear what the other person really is saying. And sometimes I have to say, and maybe other men do too, I don't know, would you just tell me what you're really trying to, just tell me what it is you're trying to say. What do you mean by all this over here? All this fluff, just tell me what you mean. Am I the only one? Bunch of chickens in here, man. You won't even know that. Just tell me. Or maybe you're really smarter than I am instead of being a chicken. So we got to listen and slow to speak. And sometimes we're too fast. We know we are. And slow to become angry. So again, here's not just advice. This is the word of the living God that helps us with relationships and certainly with family. How about the next slide? Keep commitments. We live in a day and time that to a lot of people on the face of the earth, commitment doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean what it used to mean, and I'm a young man. So therefore, you know, I've seen enough of it in my own life, even in the church. Commitment to the body of Christ. A commitment to this group of people, this church or this club, if you want to go that way, or this community activity or whatever. The commitment to the church. The commitment to Jesus Christ the Lord. Why would the scripture have details about the body of Christ and how we're to be one, and talks about unity. And then he goes on and he says, you know how the body works. The hand can't say to the feet or whatever, you know, you're not important. And it goes on with several illustrations. With the Miss Reyes, with the sugar out of control. It also thrown off different parts of her body. Is that right? I mean, the magnesium and the potassium and the whatever she was telling me one morning, that, you know, that it threw a lot of this off in my body. And she went on to tell me the story. Well, why can't we realize as the body of Christ that yes, we're different. Somebody might be the hand, the ear, the foot, the, you know, on we could go with that, but you know that already. How is it that we cannot understand or don't care that, listen, if one part's off, it affects us all. And we need to work together in unity. We need to work together in all the parts working together to form this great thing called the body of Christ at Jones Chapel. So we're all important, and we're all to do our job so the body will function, be healthy. That's so important. And in this day and time, it seems like a commitment to do that is not maybe what it used to be. Now, it is for some, so if you're committed, don't be thinking I'm on you. I'm not, But it seems in general across the church movement that really commitments don't mean maybe what they used to. Well, to understand, to be generous with praise, Are you good at praising God? That praising Jesus, and you say, well, that's kind of what we're doing here today, and this is what I do in my personal time. Are you good at praising your spouse or your children? Are you good at encouraging them? We got to ask ourselves those questions. And how about making promises to each other? If you make a promise, do you keep it? I hope we do. because children and all of us, you know, if we somebody makes a promise, we like him to keep it. That's why when a man and a woman get married and they say, we're going to do this to death do us part, you know, there's some security in that. Look with me at Ecclesiastes on the screen. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It's better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. That's strong words to me. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. When you have said, God, I'll do this or that or the other, you better fulfill it, because he don't take any pleasure in fools. It even says it's better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Pretty strong words for us. Proverbs 3 on the screen. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Love, faithfulness, don't let them leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. When you keep a commitment, it builds trust. Husband, wife, children, parents, whatever relationship you want to talk about. You keep a commitment, it builds trust. And when people trust you, they trust you. And when they don't, they don't. So keep your commitments. The next slide says give some respect. We hit that at the beginning about respect. Treat them with respect. If I'll guarantee you there's been so many books written and the Word of God, and of course it's top priority. Every woman in this building, you know it, but I'm going to remind you of it today. If your husband feels like you do not respect him, you have an uphill battle from the word go. Because men want to feel respected. You got that, ladies? You young ladies here, maybe dating, maybe not dating, get married someday. I'm going to tell you, something will help you. It might seem simple right now. If you're saying, well, I'm not even dating anybody right now, well, good for you. But one day it'll happen. If you've been married 50 years, it's still good. The man of the house, the man is built, he wants to feel respected. That's not costing you any extra. If there's no respect, it's hard to have a relationship. So how's our relationship with God? You say, well, you're switching on me. We're talking about faith. Yeah, okay. How about my relationship with God? How about your relationship with God? Could it be that it's not as great as it could be because we are failing to respect God, our Father? Could it be that we're failing to show him the respect and the fear or respect that he deserves? That we know what the Word of God says in this area, but we don't want to do it, and therefore we don't do it. We know what he says when it comes to the wife and the kids or other areas of life, and yet we just want to go our own way. Therefore, disrespecting him and his word and his will, and he sees that. Could it be that relationships in our families are the same way, that you know, the respect is not there for the wife or the husband or the children, the parent relationship, and everything's all messed up, it seems? That it's not functioning together the way it should. Is it because there's not respect between the individuals? Could be. And then if there's no respect, we have trouble How about the word honor? Romans 12:10 on the screen. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. This is talking about family relationships, relationships in general. Be devoted to one another in what? In brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Could it be that we're still very selfish people? Could it be if I don't get my way, Judy's got all hell to pay? Could it be that if she don't get her way, that she'll hold a grudge? Could it be, on and on we go. Honor. Something I found out in my few years of life, that people who really can't respect other people, they just think a little too much of themselves. Now that's simply put, isn't it? But usually people that can't respect other people, they just think they're a little too important. And the Bible warns us about that too. Philippians 2:3 tells us to be humble, thinking of others as better than ourselves. Okay, how about the next slide? Encouragement. How much encouragement do I give my wife? How much encouragement do I give my parents? How much encouragement do I give my kids? How much encouragement do I give Cannon? How much encouragement do I give the body of Christ? How much encouragement do I give my friends? Am I an encourager? And it's easier not to be. Barnabas. We need old Barnabas. Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you are doing. How are you going to build somebody up? How are you going to encourage somebody? A lot of ways, but figure some out for the new year. I've told you that my silly self has actually done this, and I'm going to do it again before long. I don't like going to Walmart to begin with, but sometimes I do. And I go in, and people, they just look so unhappy, some of them. And all frowned up and smack a kid in the buggy or something, you know, and it's just on and on it goes. And you just watch, just pay attention. You can't help but see it. And some of them all frowned up, you know. And you say, well, you don't know what they're going through today. That's true. We don't. So be an encourager. But you do this sometimes, and I guarantee it, you'll see a difference. When you're walking down the aisle and, you know, whatever, and somebody's all frowned up, smile at them. Just smile. And see what happens. Now, it's not 100% proof, but most of the time, they'll lighten that frown up. Just do your little experiment, and nobody don't have to know you're doing it but you. Or somebody smiling at you, being real kind, frown at them. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't be telling me to do that. Just try it. I'm telling you, you can have a lot of fun, and nobody don't even know what you're doing. Listen, that bald-headed crazy man in Walmart frowning at people, smiling at people. You can smile when you can't say a word. You can smile when you cannot be heard. You can smile whether it's cloudy or fair. You can smile anytime, anywhere. You remember that old song? Anybody here ever heard it? You got to be kidding me. There's one, two, three. You can smile anytime, anywhere. You say, well, I don't know if you're getting that out of Scripture or not. Be an encourager and smile at people. Somebody said the other day, why are you always happy? Just smile at them. Why are you always happy? Well, might as well be happy and smile, keep them crying. Offer encouragement. How about our words? Somebody said it this way, man doesn't live by bread alone. Sometimes he needs to be buttered up. At one point in my life, I wasn't too good at buttering people up. I just thought they ought to have enough sense to know how to act. And if they didn't, so be it. I've gotten better as I get older, as the Holy Spirit has more control of my life. I'm getting better. And I still believe there's a fine line. Truth is truth, and we love people in telling truth. But it won't hurt to be an encourager. And I don't know about stroking their ego and all that too much. You can get in trouble. But really, we can be encouragers. All of us can. And we're called to be through the Word of God. I don't know if we call it buttering them up or not. Be an encourager. Barnabas was. He is called the encourager. He was from the tribe of Levi over on the island of Cyprus. And he was an encourager, son of encouragement. Okay, last slide of the day. Ask for and offer forgiveness. Ask for and offer forgiveness. If you live in any kind of a family, if you live by yourself, you know, and if there's a two and anything above that, in any group, in any way, you know this is important. That we have to ask for and we have to offer forgiveness. Because people will hurt you and disappoint you. Surely not. If you've lived any length of time, you know that. If you'd asked Judy if I've ever hurt her feelings, she would have to say yes. If you say, Ron, has Judy ever hurt your feelings? I'd say that woman's got you fooled. She chews me out and y'all think she's sweet. No. Oh. We have hurt each other's feelings in the course of time. Did we mean to? Not always. Did we sometimes? Not a doubt in my mind she meant to hurt my feelings. We hurt each other's feelings. Sometimes not even meaning to. And people disappoint and people hurt. That's part of life. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And it don't take me long. Oh, it don't take me long to think about that. And to come to the conclusion, if I'm going to forgive, like this scripture says, as the Lord forgave me, well, I might be mad a while, I might be upset a while, I might think how unfair that is for a while, but it don't take too long to say, God has forgiven me of my sin. God has forgiven me of so much that I am to offer that forgiveness to other people. I hurt God. I sinned against God. I had no right to His forgiveness, but He gave it to me anyway. And sometimes, in all honesty, we feel like they don't deserve my forgiveness. Now, this is just being honest where the rubber meets the road. You've had that thought about somebody. But then we turn around, we think a moment, and we get out of the heat of that moment and we see, God, you have forgiven me. And oh man, there's not enough paper to make the list. And then we forgive other people. It's not natural. We know it. We've lived long enough that it's not natural. That's why we must be filled with the supernatural. That's why we are Christ followers. That's why we take the first step and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. Come forgive me of my sin. First step. Have you taken it? Really taken that step? Not been a good person, not come to church. Have you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and say, forgive me of my sin? It's got to take place. And then we start growing. It's a lot easier to hold a grudge. It's a lot easier to have a legal pad in your mind, even though you can't fit it in that head, but it's in there. And mine's on yellow paper. You know, the old-fashioned legal pad. And you got a list of all that. That's natural. But we are Christ's followers. We're children of the Most High God that has forgiven us. And He says, I want you to forgive. So it's really clear. Experience the forgiveness of God. Yes, I have. And I'm to forgive other people. So, in closing here today, I want to share a little story with you about the Spanish folks. And I thought it was pretty good. It's a story about a father and son who had some problems and they separated ways. And the son left home and the father set out to find him. And he searched month after month after month. He couldn't find him. No success. So he turned to the newspaper. He was desperate. And he put an ad in the newspaper, a big one there. And it said, Dear Peco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. On Saturday, the article says 800 young men named Peco showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their estranged father. 800 named Peco. Do you need to experience the forgiveness of Jesus Christ today? Have you experienced it? If you have not, I pray today you'll come to this altar and you'll say with a very sincere, genuine heart, Lord Jesus, I need you to forgive me today of my sin. I want to turn my life over to you. If you're already a Christian and you're struggling in areas of life, you may want to say, Lord, here I am today. I know I'm yours. But in this area, I'm struggling. And number one, I want to start at the beginning. I want to ask you to forgive me of whatever the issue may be. I want you, Holy Spirit, to fill me and empower me to start out this new year with victory over this area in my life. Would you stand with me today? Our Father, how we thank you and praise you for this moment in time. We'll never meet just like this again. And here we are together with you. And Lord, we're talking about relationships in our family. We're talking about understanding each other. And God, it's not always easy. Husbands and wives and children and making vows and promises to God and to each other. You say, don't let love and faithfulness leave you. Respect and encouragement. And asking for and giving forgiveness to other people. It's my opinion that there's not one in the room that don't need some help in these kind of areas in life. And we're glad, Lord, that you see us today and you love us. We're glad that the altars are open. And this first Sunday of 2020, we can come and say, here I am, Lord, with any issue, with any problem, with any opportunity that we need direction in. So God, may people respond to your Spirit today, not to me, but what they know is true in the depths of their heart. Do a work in us only as you can. And we'll give you praise for it. In Christ's name.